For 10 years, I was a missionary overseas. I see faces in this room that I do not know. Just to give you a background, for 10 years, God allowed me to be a missionary overseas in the nations of India, Nepal, China, the Philippines. I worked in Africa, some in South America. Mostly the nations of India and Nepal. There have been many times when my life was in extreme danger. Sometimes I didn't even know about it until the danger was already past. I didn't even know what kind of a situation that we were in until later God revealed how he had calmed the raging sea in my life. When I first began to walk into places like that, young people, when I first began to walk into the experiences that rattled me, my faith was not very strong. The book of Proverbs says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. That verse hit me between the eyes one day because it's very plainly saying, if you give up and you turn around and you quit whenever things get hard and things, the storm starts raging around you, then you have no strength. That's what the Bible says. I have just enough Holy Ghost determination on the inside of me that when I read words like that, it says to me, you are not going to be that person. You will not be that person that God has to look at and say, your strength was small. It's not my strength anyway, it's the strength of Christ on the inside of me. And so when I first began to walk into places that I did not understand, I did not see how God was going to come through, my strength proved that it was small. But after walking through those places, I can stand before you and say, the storm, when it's raging and it looks like the boat is going to capsize, I promise you, if you just hold on and you start calling out to Jesus, he will not leave you without an answer. He will not leave you to die in that storm. Praise God. I will preach whether you say amen. Just because, listen to me, I've preached long enough to know when there's a pressure front moving through and there's clouds hanging over and it's gloomy and doomy outside and it's rainy and it's foggy and it's cold and there's a whole system moving in. I've preached long enough to know that it affects how we worship God. Don't ask me why, but it does. So I've come to stir you up this morning to tell you that don't worry about the pressure front outside. Let's worry about what's going on in this room right now. Even if you feel rotten, I'd still like to hear you throw an amen out there over the top of your rotten feeling. It'll help you, I promise. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. So I returned and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun. And behold, the tears of such as were oppressed, and they had no comforter. And on the side of the oppressor, there was power, but they had no comforter. Go to verse 9 in that same chapter. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falls, for he had not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. The book of Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21, the scripture that you are very familiar with, the Bible says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. I'm going to preach to you this morning, speak life. Jesus, I ask you for your power, for your anointing, for your presence in this room. Let your spirit shift everything else off of us this morning as we draw our attention to you, as we turn our attention to you and your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Solomon is writing here in both the books of Ecclesiastes and Proverbs. He is writing it on the power of having someone to agree with. Sogman says that he began to look around him and think about all of the oppressive things that were happening in people's lives. He began to notice the crying of those that were around him and those that were dealing with oppressing things. Just like Pastor Jason got up here and said, look, I see what's going on. I've seen the sickness, the attack, and we're taking authority over this thing. Solomon said he looked around and he began to notice the oppressing things that were happening in people's lives. And he made a very sad conclusion about what was going on. He said that those who were oppressed had no comforter. He saw that the ones that were doing the oppressing had power on their side to wreak havoc in the minds of people, because there was no one working back against the oppressor in the role of a comforter. Now, the power that a person's attitude has on life has a drastic power. It's bigger than we give it credit for. And an attitude is something that we have a choice in.
Yes.
Choosing your attitude about certain matters begins in that little place that the Bible says is like the rudder of a ship. Do you know what I'm talking about? The rudder of the entire ship of your body is this little place called your tongue. We have a choice when it comes to the words that we speak. I'm sure if I made the statement, they speak before they think, that somebody would come to your mind pretty quickly. Our former pastor would make a statement like that, and then he would say, don't look around. Don't give yourself away. Just look straight ahead. Don't look to the right or to the left. Every time that I open my mouth to speak, I am revealing how I've been doing in three conversations of my life. Number one, I'm revealing what I've been saying to myself or within myself. When I open my mouth, I'm revealing, number two, how well that I am pushing back the lies of the enemy or the oppressor in my life. And number three, I'm revealing how closely that I'm walking with God. In these three areas of conversation, between me and God, between me and myself, and between me and the devil, if they are being handled poorly, then I face a pretty high risk of acting and speaking wrongly to the people around me. But if these three areas of conversation are being handled the way that God intends for them to be handled, then I will be found speaking life-giving words. I will be found with wise words, true words. Speaking life is something that we all know about, but it is also one of those things that is much easier said than done. When everything is really going good in our lives, all the circumstances are working out in a timely way, everybody's happy, the job is good, money is good, health is good, it's pretty easy to have a nice attitude and a good outlook on life. It's pretty easy to quote the Word of God when you are not having to cling to it with every fiber of your being. It's pretty easy to even tell somebody else how everything is going to work out for good when everything is working for good in your own life. It's pretty easy to pray for somebody else's miracle when you don't need one yourself. It's pretty easy to command strength to be formed in somebody when you are the one walking in strength. But what about when things are not going in your favor? What about when you are struggling? What about when you are desperately holding on to the promises of the Word of God? What are you doing in those moments in life? Because we all go through them. The necessity of us as the body of Christ speaking life is not only for our own encouragement and strength, but it is also for the encouragement of the work of God as a whole. It's not just for you. It's not just for this local body. It is for the actual work of God. If you have not noticed lately in the body of Christ, there is a weariness, a heaviness, a frustration, irritations that are working overtime to try to consume the peace of God away from God's people. If you have not noticed that many are weighed down with the cares of this life, weighed down by wrong thoughts, weighed down by the lies of the enemy, weighed down by the continual fight that they have been in. And because of that being weighed down, the enemy starts to whisper lies into the hearts and minds of the people of God and tell them this thing. Things aren't like they used to be in the church. Things aren't the way that I remember they were in church. The people of God sometimes even begin to walk around in an oppressed state of mind because of all of the weight that they have been experiencing, weighed down to the point. You hear me? I said weighed down to the point that when we do come together into the house of God, our arms are seemingly too heavy to lift them in worship to the source of life and hope that we say we worship. You see, I have a different vantage point than you, most of you, when you come to church. I have served in positions where I was on the stage every single service, 3 services a week, and I have been a witness week after week to the heaviness that people are under because I was in the position of trying to lead people into the presence of an almighty God. From time to time, I believe that I have felt what Solomon must have felt when he looked around him and he could see and feel the heaviness of the people. There have been times that I have walked off of the stage. When we were in Texarkana, I would walk off of the stage and go behind it from leading worship, and I would weep behind the stage before coming into the service because of being able to see and feel the heaviness that some of my brothers and sisters were under when they walked right in to the sanctuary, to the place where God is trying to meet with them. The Bible tells us to put on the garment of praise in the place of the spirit of heaviness so that you might be called a tree of righteousness. The Bible tells us that you have to be the one that puts it on. The worship team, the leaders cannot sing it off of you. They cannot give it to you. If you've got a spirit of heaviness, then you have got to put on some praise so that life can come to you and help you where you are. You see, in order to be able to speak life, it begins, oddly enough, in a place where you are by yourself, in a conversational place that goes on between you and God, which is otherwise known as prayer. If I choose to put the life of prayer and praise in that place of where my heaviness is trying to consume me, then my life is going to start bearing fruit, and I'm going to be a tree of the Lord, and you're going to see the fruit of the Spirit, and God is going to be glorified by it. Putting on that garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness causes me to be more firmly planted in God. It means that I'm going to have a stronger root system in my life of God. It means that I am not going to be tossed around by the power of an oppressing enemy. Please understand, we do not need to assemble ourselves together in the heaviness of the load. The Bible does not say, assemble yourselves together under the heaviness of the load that you are under and leave under the same heaviness. All because we could not put on the garment of praise. We need to come together, strengthen each other, encourage each other, build each other up, speak life to each other. I challenge you right now to not always be a taker. Don't always be a taker from the body of Christ, and never a giver of the word of life. We need each other. Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes that if there is someone to agree with, and one of us is being overpowered, one of us is being prevailed against, that it's going to be okay because you've got somebody that is going to fight back with you and withstand the enemy on your behalf. But if you allow yourself to be isolated in the middle of your heaviness, you start withdrawing yourself, you don't come to church anymore, you don't go to prayer meeting anymore, you don't talk to anyone anymore because you don't want to be a bother to anybody, then you are going to find yourself falling into the ditch with nobody to help pull you out. That is just the way your enemy would love to use heaviness against you. We are family here. We need each other. There is a spirit working overtime that tries to stir up strife in the body of Christ. If you haven't seen it, just take my word for it. It's not just you. You are not the only one being picked on by an accusing spirit. It is the spirit of this age. And that old accuser and that oppressor is using all the power he's got on his side to try to overwhelm the people of God and keep them stuck in a place of lifelessness. What we have to acknowledge as the children of the God of life is that God wants progress out of us. He wants a forward, living, moving motion out of your walk with God. He does not want you stalled out and stagnant where you are. You were born into the family of God to walk in the power of God on this earth, not to sink underneath the load of life. Jesus said, the word of God, the bread of life, Christ, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. David said, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, he is my fortress, my God. In him I will trust. Can you feel what happens on the inside of you when you are underneath a load and you say, you know, God, David can say it, I can say it. You are my God. You are my refuge. You are my fortress. You are my strong tower. Yes, I feel burdened down. Yes, I feel heavy underneath this load that's trying to steal my victory of walking with Christ. But you are still my God. You are still the one that I cling to. You are still the rock that I'm building on. You are still the fire that consumes my life. You feel what happens when you begin to turn the tables. You start speaking the life of God. The Holy Ghost has dealt with me very strongly on this matter, that we as the people who call ourselves by the name of the only living God, the God who is alive, we must be people who speak life ourselves. The Bible says, if the blind lead the blind, both of us are going to fall in the ditch. If I'm too weighed down, if I've got too much, I'm blinded by heaviness that the enemy would love to consume me with. I'm too tired. I'm too weighed down to notice that you need somebody to come alongside of you and say, hey, I'm going to be praying for you. I see that your countenance is fallen. Hey, God is going to come through in your situation. But if I'm too weighed down to see that you need an agreement, for you need somebody to come along and speak life, then we are no better than the blind leading the blind around, blinded by hurts. Do you know that you can be blinded by hurt? Did you know you can be blinded by hurt? You can be hurt, you can have church hurt, and you can sit there in your church hurt for the next 52 and a half years, blinded to all the people around you that love you, blinded to the ones that are trying to help you. You won't come out of the blindness because you got hurt one time. Who hasn't? Who hasn't? We could all sit down and write a long list of all of our hurts that we've felt in church, and we've established that. Good for us. Hallelujah. God is still God. Blinded by what somebody told you that he said and she said about you. Blinded by misunderstanding somebody. Blinded by disappointments that life has brought to you. Blinded by the overwhelming heaviness of your job or the calling on your life. And if we come together in the house of God, still consumed by all of the things that blind us, unable to trade them off for a garment of praise, then how, please tell me, how are we going to affect each other and this entire region with the life of God? Don't you see the plan of your enemy? He would love For you to be busy and consumed with everything that is going on in your life and around your life, that you cannot worship God freely, and you will not be filled with the life of the Spirit. You've got an enemy that wants you to walk around discouraged, disappointed, disillusioned with the church and ministry, defeated, sick, overwhelmed. And if he can get you to stay in that frame of mind, you won't be speaking the life of God to anybody else around you. We used to sing that song. We'd come into church. I loved it because it got people moving. It got boiled down to a kid's song, but I loved it when we sang it because we sang, "Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let all of God's children praise the Lord." This is my favorite part. We go, "Shake off those heavy bands, lift up those holy hands, let all of God's children praise the Lord." See, after your stuff starts happening, you know, some of y'all hadn't moved that much in worship in a long time. Some of y'all don't even feel free enough to do that. Come on, he's the God of life. He's the God, and some people think, well, you know, I just feel funny lifting my hands up into the middle of the air for no reason. Like, what will people think? Who cares what people think? I open myself up to the King of Glory. Then, hey, Jesus, there's a bullseye right here for you. I don't want you to miss the target. Here I am, and I'm lifting my holy hands without fear, without wrath, without any doubt. I know you are there, and I know you are for me, and so here I am, and I'm giving myself back to you. And when I do open myself up and put on the garment of praise, here he comes to speak life back to me. Hallelujah. Don't misunderstand me when I use the phrase speak life. I absolutely am not talking about aiming for positivity and naming and claiming stuff. You will never hear me boil the goodness of God and the blessings of God down to temporal cars and houses and stuff. Because you will not take that with you. I could care less. I would rather you have to walk to church without a car and holes in your shoes and come in here declaring the goodness of God than to have the nicest, best sports car on this earth. I would rather you be able to say that God is good even though I've got nothing than to walk in here and say I've got everything and have need of nothing. I'm not talking about naming it and claiming it. I'm talking about letting the word of God, which is Jesus Christ, to be heard coming from your lips and from your heart. David had to encourage his own self in the Lord. The Bible tells us, speak to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Singer like you. I don't sing. I don't have a voice like you. Then do it in your heart. Everybody, especially in this day and hour, if you're a true child of God, there's been stuff piled on top of you and heaviness and weights and attacks and problems. The days that we live in are increasingly wicked, and they are only going to get more so. The Bible plainly tells you that before the Lord comes back, it's going to be like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, which we are already living in, and it's going to be like the days of Noah, where everybody did what was right in their own eyes. Please don't let that be you. We need each other. What we don't need is to just show up here out of duty. Walk out without even contemplating that somebody sitting on the same row that you're sitting in might desperately need the word of encouragement that God has placed on the inside of you. Walking in the life of the Spirit will cause you, walking in the life of the Spirit will allow you to pretty easily see where the lack of spiritual life is. Abiding in Christ, walking in the Holy Ghost, will cause you to speak life. This world is so dark that the light of God in your countenance can easily speak for itself. But you've got to be in constant fellowship with the Holy Ghost for that to be the case. The fire that's on the inside of you has got to burn brighter than the fires that are being shot at you and all the way around you. If the Holy Ghost is burning stronger than the fires that try to burn you, you hear me? You won't be burned out if you are being consumed by the Holy Ghost. If the fire of the Spirit on the inside of you is burning brighter than what is trying to burn you, you will not be found falling in the ditch. Even if you are dealing with a load, even if you do have an oppressor that's trying to pile stuff on your life. The Bible says that life and death are in the power of the tongue, and the one who understands this will eat the fruit of it. It's no new revelation to you right now that words are powerful. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. We sang that as a kid, but it's not true. Words can harm, they can hurt, they can discourage, they can tear down, but if that is the truth, then words can also mend and heal and encourage and build up. Sometimes we have to speak life even when we don't actually see it. What does the Bible say to do when there are mountains in front of you that need to move? Speak to that mountain and say, who do you think you are, O great mountain? Who are you? God crying, grace, grace unto this thing. That sounds to me like that's speaking life over something that wants to look huge and stand in the way of your life. You can't always control your circumstances or your surroundings. We all know that that is true. Sometimes bad things happen to good people and you cannot control it. You can, however, control that attitude toward these things, because our attitudes are either going to be an asset or a liability to any given situation. Are you a plus or a minus? When you're added to the equation, are you a plus or you're a minus? There is no in between. You are either going to be a life giver or you're going to be a drain. Is that plain enough for you? You're going to give life or you're going to drain. Speak life. Your attitude reflects. You ready for this?
Yes.
I'm going to say it real nicely so you don't get mad. Your attitude reflects your life in the Spirit.
Yes. Amen.
How quickly you're spouting off. How quickly you're getting angry. How little patience you've got. Did you know that patience is a fruit of the Spirit? And temperance and joy. It's the fruit of the Spirit. But if you got no life in the Spirit, you got no fruit. And you can't have any fruit if you're not a tree that's been planted of the Lord. Speak life. There have been times in my life when I realized that things coming from my mouth were negative, and I had allowed myself to be pretty negative for too long.
That's good. Yeah.
Times when I felt like my plans mattered more than God's.
Yes.
We do that, you know?
Yeah.
I know, but y'all may not. I've done that. My plan, I felt like, mattered more than God's. And those are the times that I call some stinking thinking that goes on in this head.
Amen.
You don't have to look at me righteously because I know you've dealt with it too.
Yeah.
And those times of stinking thinking can create an attitude in us that can be wordless. You don't have to say anything. You don't have to voice your opinion or your frustration. It can just be felt. I lifeless attitude can not only plague your own mind with death, but it can negatively impact the people around you.
Amen.
People who speak death have spoken it long before they ever opened their mouth to say, I'm done. Now, if you're sitting at the back of the church this morning, don't take this personally. Pastor Lord, and I see you back there. This does not apply to you. But I have watched, I have witnessed people who were all in. Hey, I'm all in.
Yeah.
I love God. 6 months down the road, the ones who were sitting on the front row already fired up in the altar are now sitting on the back row.
Yeah, right.
They are speaking without speaking.
Yes, they are.
And you watch them speak before they ever say, I'm out. Never going back. You've seen it, I've seen it. You can speak death long before you ever say anything. The Bible says, do all things. This one hurts, I'm telling you. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. That means do everything without complaining and arguing. That you might be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the middle of a crooked and a perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world.
Amen.
So here's my question this morning. How much life has been in your light lately? How much life has been in your light? Someone once said that life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it.
Yes.
What a truer statement could be made of a Christian. The true test of your walk in the life of the Spirit is not where your faith lies when everything is going well.
Amen.
I don't need you to teach me how to scream and shout when I hit a home run. I know how to do that.
Yeah.
I can jump, dance. Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, we loved to play miniature golf. My mom called it my golf dance. I had this special dance that I made if I ever got a hole in one.
Yeah.
Logan has inherited that dance. It just came across in the genes. I didn't tell him, I didn't teach him. He just, it's there. I don't need you to teach me how to rejoice when everything's going good. But where does my faith lie? And who am I? And how am I acting? And what am I speaking? And how do I worship when things are heavy?
Amen.
It's when you're going through the worst times of your life that your faith will be tested. How much of the life of God will you allow to flow through you when you are under the weight of an oppressor? Because I've got some encouraging news for you, and I'll end this with encouragement. We are not living in the days of Solomon, where he said, I looked around, I saw the oppression, and there was no comforter. You know where I'm going with that. Jesus said, I'm going away, but I'm going to send you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. It seems simple to remind you of that, but sometimes we need to be reminded of the simple truths that we know in order to bring about a change in our perspective. Because you change your perspective, you can change your attitude. Change that attitude, you can change the way you're looking at things. You change the way that you're looking at things, you can change the whole trajectory of where you're headed. If you just look at that mountain and say, yeah, I know, I see it. It's huge. It's a huge mountain in my life, and I hate it. Am I the only one that does that? That's what you do when you look at that mountain, and that's exactly how you're going to handle it.
Yeah.
Sure. And it's going to be more than you can handle.
Right. Yes.
If you change your perspective to what Jesus said, the outcome will be different. Jesus said in Mark chapter 11, have faith in God. For verily I say to you that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. To speak life in the middle of any turmoil that you've got going on means that you've got to know that God is stronger than your circumstances. Against all the odds, that faith is what's going to persevere. You have to choose to speak life when this world is screaming death. I refuse to be any part whatsoever of this walking dead, zombie-infused generation that has embraced death as a cool thing. You hear me? Social media has so invaded and penetrated, and television and shows have so consumed the people of God until what they are watching is so much bigger in their life. That's why we don't. That's why we can't.
Come on, that's right. That's good. It's true.
I refuse to be a part of a dead society. I won't give you any moment of my time. You will not have my children's time.
Amen.
My children hear the word zombie from other places, and I yank that out of their mouth as soon as it's spoken.
Yes.
You will not be a part of that walking dead.
Amen.
Jason and I were sitting in a hospital room when I was pregnant with Elena. We were sitting in the foyer waiting on an ultrasound, and we both just casually glanced up at the television that was playing in the room, just in time to see zombies literally slice someone's face in half on the screen. In a split second, we were inundated with graphic death being thrown in our faces. So we have chosen what we will allow into our home. We are choosing what we watch very carefully, but society will say, nah, it's just make-believe, it's just pretend, doesn't matter. We consume graphic junk into our lives all the time on a daily basis. It is mortifying to see even a quick glimpse of the trash and the death that pervades our society. You are my brother, you are my sister, and I've come to tell you that the oppressor and the hand of the oppressor is very heavy in our land. You are going to have to shine brighter than you've ever shined before. How sensitive are you to the people that are around you? How sensitive are you to those that are sitting beside you in the house of God who feel like a weight is sitting on top of them? Is there death in your home or life? And if there's death, what do you need to do to get it out?
Amen.
Speak life. As far as you can, you and I can tell, things are only going to get increasingly worse before the Lord comes back. The oppressive power of that enemy is not going to get any lighter. That's why there's going to be great fallings away. But if you'll stand with me this morning, here's what I do know. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says, but this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive, alive. I don't think that means just breath in your body. We which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And the last thing that writer said, comfort one another with these words. Solomon said, I looked around, the oppression and the death and the pain and the tears were so heavy. And the reason why it was so heavy is because they didn't have a comforter. But Jesus, the Word of God, says, those that are alive, you are living, you've got life on the inside of you. When I split that sky open, you are to comfort one another with these words to know that the power of the oppressor is not going to overcome. Would you lift your hands to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords right now? Say, Jesus, would you help me to have life in me? I want my life to shine the light of God. I want my life to speak life in the middle of a generation that is consumed by death. I want you to help me understand how to trade off the heaviness for a garment of praise this morning. Come on, folks, would you begin to talk to the Lord and ask him to help us to be a light in this generation, a light set on a hill, this house of God, to be a place of refuge where people who are bound by an oppressor can walk in off of the street. Why? Because they saw a great light, because they felt a presence of the light of God coming from this place. Jesus, help us not to be consumed by death. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you are in this house this morning and you say to me, I do not have the life of God on the inside, I don't have the word of God inside of me, I don't have Jesus on the inside, but I want it, I want him, I want him, I want him. If you lift your hands and say to me, I want the life of God in my life, I want him to be greater than the death of society. Oh, I see hands going up. If you would like to, all over this room, let's come find a place to pray at this altar. Everyone.